today that you will join me. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm pastor of Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program. That you will join me in giving praise and glory and honor to the one to whom it belongs. I'll just give you a little sneak preview. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we've got some great things coming up in store here. I don't want you to lose sight of that or think we're not going to get there. We haven't even really got to the point yet where that launched this study, the word that God planted as a seed, and that seed grew and grew, and it's been growing for quite some time now. So we've still got a great deal to talk about as we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer and the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to go back to Psalm 22 today. Yesterday we were talking about coming to understand how people of faith put their trust in the Lord their God. They cried out to him, he delivered them, and they were not ashamed. So today, I want to tell you, there's a lot of pressure that is put on Christians to be ashamed, you know, that we need to change what we believe in order to be relevant with our culture. I want you to understand that God has not called me to change my faith to fit the culture. He has equipped me with faith to change the culture. If there's anything changing, it is going to be the culture, not my faith. I'm not changing my faith just because somebody says, well, you know, that's not convenient. Stand up in faith and lean into God and watch. I find that the ministry strategy of appeasement does not work. I think that what society really wants is people who believe in the Lord their God. They're not afraid to live that belief in God on a day in and day out basis, and they are going to say, this is what I live for. So a lot of times people want to say, you know, if I just do this, if I just be nice to them, we've kind of seen that with the foreign policy here in the United States, where we say, you know, if we just are nice to them, maybe they'll be nice to us. You got to realize that the devil hates your guts. You got to realize that there are people who need to hear the truth of the gospel because they have heard the gospel diluted, watered down, contorted, and distorted to fit the enemy's needs. Many people, even though they've heard of the gospel, they have never really heard the true gospel, and so they need to find people who lean into God and have a testimony that they can say, hey, he's no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he will do for you if you will put your trust in him. So we talked a little bit yesterday. We're gonna go back to Psalm 22 today. Psalm 22. Don't forget, Space Coast City Fest is coming up here in March 28th and 29th, so we're still a couple of weeks away from that. But if you are interested in helping out, you can still sign up to be a volunteer and go through the training that is necessary and all of that sort of stuff. Check out Space Coast City Fest, ibelieve.com. If you type into your search bar Space Coast City Fest, it'll take you where you need to go. Verse number 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Now, I want to, you know, because part of this passage has to do with Jesus dying on the cross. This is the second reference to Jesus dying on the cross. my God, why have you forsaken me was the first reference. I want you to understand that Jesus never saw himself as a worm. Okay. So when I tell you that there are personal references in here for David, and then there are also messianic, references in here to Jesus, we need to distinguish those two. The devil will try and convince you that you are a lower form of creation than what you are. Okay? Jesus spent 5 days building creation. Sixth day he made man, and he did everything else he said was good. When he created man, he said it was very good. Okay? We are, we have many similarities with the animal kingdom, but there is one distinct difference. We as human beings were created in the image of God. We were created body, soul, and spirit. Okay? I know people love their pets. They love their animals. I've cried when pets have died. You know, around my house, it's, you know, I play with the dogs and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, I can be, control my emotions pretty good. But when I see my family and they've gone through that heartache, it gets awful, awful tough being a dad, watching your kids go through that grieving process, especially when you've had some pets that were just really phenomenal with your kids. But do not ever change your perspective as to where you fit in creation. You are not a worm. You are not a grasshopper, like the children of Israel said when the spies came back from checking out the promised land, that we looked like grasshoppers in their sight, and we looked the same to them. Or we looked like grasshoppers compared to them, and they saw us the same way. No, they didn't. The devil does not look at you as a helpless victim. He looks at you as a potential conqueror. He looks at you as a potential child of the living God who can do devastating damage to the kingdom of darkness and make positive impact for the kingdom of God. That's what he sees. So I've never really fully understood the enamor that some people have with being a perpetual victim. I've been victimized. I tell people I've been profiled in shopping places. I've been profiled because of the car that I drove. I know what it's like to go through some of those things. I've been denied employment because of they didn't like the size of my family. I've gone through all of that sort of stuff, but I'm here to tell you, I am not a victim when God is the one who orders my steps and directs my path. So, what we talked about yesterday was trusting in the Lord and learning from those who've gone before us. So there may be someone out there that right now you're going through a battle of discouragement or disappointment or depression, and the enemy is trying to convince you that your life doesn't matter. I want you to know that's exactly the opposite of what is true. Your life does matter. You were created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God, and the devil will try and get you to believe a lie. He's always been a liar. He's the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language. He's very fluent in it, but it's all designed to get us to believe that we are less effective than less influence than what we really have. When the children of Israel showed up in Jericho, Let me give you the modern version of what Rahab said. Where have you all been? We have been shaking in our boots for the last 40 years because we heard that the God who delivered you out of Egypt was coming to give you this land, and we have been living in fear ever since. Does that sound like a grasshopper to you? See, they didn't, the enemy did not look at the children of God, the children of Israel, as a grasshopper to be stepped on and squashed. They looked at them as a conquering army that was unstoppable. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by people. All those who see me ridicule me. Now, I will tell you this. We do live in a very harsh society. We live in a community that, as much as they say that they do not tolerate bullying, it is a very bullying society where, you know, people make fun of one another. They listen, the part of society that proclaims tolerance to the greatest extent is the most intolerant group that we have in our society. We're told as Christians that we're intolerant because we believe something, but all you've got to do is see the intolerance behind the social platforms and things like that, where there is all sorts of horrific things that are said, all because people assume that they're not going to have to pay a consequence because they're typing behind a keyboard. And many of the people that they want to mock and to ridicule are people who are going through a very difficult time. Well, they're going through this because of this. Boy, I bet that'll teach you. None of the rest of y'all had better believe in this particular thing over here. You know, there is no mercy, there is no grace, and people, instead of being agents of comfort, the unredeemed end up being agents of condemnation, which ends up causing people who are already going through a difficult time to feel less of themselves, to feel worthless. They do not solve the problem. These bullies compound the problem. If you are surrounded by people who are not working with you to bring about a solution that is going to bring glory and honor to Jesus, find a new group of friends. If you read the book of Job, which some people believe is the oldest book in the Bible, you will find that Job's quote-unquote friends had originally shown up as his comforters. They were there. They originally started with noble purpose. They showed up. They wept when they saw the condition of Job. They were never more effective than when they were being expressing empathy because of the suffering that Job was going through. What he experienced was horrific. But at some point in time, they transitioned from comforting to condemning and criticizing. And that's when they set themselves on the wrong path. Okay. Let me tell you that I've had people through the years make fun of me because, now, this goes way back. They used to criticize me for my hairstyle, which was natural. It wasn't artificial. It was God-given. I used to have ladies at church that would come up to me and said, "Oh, I just love your hair. I wish I had your hair, and under my breath, I would say, I wish you had it too, because it was not easy to work with. Even now, the guy who cuts my hair, I said, you know, I've had the same hairstyle for a long time now. Is there anything we can do different here? He said, with the nature of your hair, nope, this is it. And I was like, okay, you're the expert. Okay. So I could always do what I've seen others do and take an electric razor to it and just shave it all off, but I don't want to do that. I'll take what I got and hang on to it for as long as possible here. So I've been criticized because of how skinny I was. I've solved that problem. I've had people who made fun of me for being a certain weight. I solved that problem too. I gained more. I've had people who criticize me because of my, you know, this my facial features, my height, all sorts of things. Listen, if you have not had anybody make fun of you, tease you, try and intimidate you because of that, just wait a minute. They'll get around to you. Okay. And so people who mock at you and laugh at you, don't let them have the final say, because there is one thing that is for sure. And that is this: when it comes to sin, we are all sinners, and God wants us to be sinners saved by grace. So don't let the foolishness, though they may be painful words, do not let the foolishness of their words damage you and cause you to see yourself or see God in a lower light. Say, you know what? People talk bad. They speak evil about things they do not understand. I had a person one time that sent me a note, and they said, I wanted to offer you some constructive criticism. That was their word. Okay. Now, I am all for improvement. Just let me make that clear. I am all for improvement. And so if there's something that I can do to become a better pastor, I want to do it. If there's something that I can do to become better here on the radio, I want to do it. But this person began to criticize another individual about things that individual could not change. And the person who sent me that had met me once, didn't know the person that they were criticizing, had met me one time and felt empowered enough, emboldened enough to think that they had perspective on things that were going on in that individual's life that they really didn't have. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay? Everybody has room to improve. There is nothing to dispute that at all. But I will tell you where I stand. I will stand by faithfulness over giftedness every single day of the week. I would much rather have a faithful person than a person that the world is enamored with their giftings. So, again, if you've not had anybody make fun of you, here's what I do. I tease myself. I do. If you're in one of our services, if there is a joke to be told, I'll tell the joke about myself. You know why? Because I know I'm not going to get mad at myself. I would rather look at myself and say, you know what? I got room to improve. You got room to improve. And so let's go on. It says they shoot out the lip and shake the head, saying, so there's this accusation that is getting ready to take place. And let me just pause to share with you one of the little nuggets of truth that God had shared with me. And that is this: just because a thought crosses your mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross your lips. Just because a thought crosses your mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross your lips. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, so you have the ability to be quiet. There are a lot of times that things go flashing through my head, and then I'll start running it through. Is this virtuous? Is this true? Is this noble? Is it edifying? And if it doesn't pass the test, then I'll kick it to the recycle bin. I'll just throw it out because I don't want to damage people. I'm not here to damage. I'm here to edify. I'm here to refresh. And so there are a lot of people who shoot things out their mouth, and they don't. Sometimes they even think they're doing godly purpose, but listen to what they said. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. So yesterday we talked about what had taken place in the lives of those who've gone before us. Now we find this person, and again, this is ultimately fulfilled in the accusations that were made against Jesus on the cross. But it is something that every one of us goes through whenever we are going through something difficult. So let me just, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him, let him deliver him, since he delights in him. One of the modern manifestations of that is, well, if they really had faith in Jesus, they wouldn't be going through that. If they really had faith, they wouldn't be sick. If they really had faith, they wouldn't be small. If they really had faith, they wouldn't be poor. Okay? Let me just tell you something. All of those things are immature, and they're hurtful, and they're not true. Okay? A person commended for their faith in the New Testament was a woman who placed everything she had, two little bitty copper coins that she dropped into the offering plate. And Jesus said, nobody gave a greater offering today than that lady did. She didn't have anything to her name except for her relationship with God. I tell people, if anybody says anything to you that says, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't be sick, that you respond and remind them about the story about the guys who took their friend and lowered him by ropes into the presence of Jesus so that he could be healed. And it doesn't say that Jesus saw his faith. It said Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the guys that tore open the roof and lowered the guy down. So don't let anybody shoot their mouth off and condemn your condition in God just because they don't fully understand what is going on in your life. I will tell you this. If you're sharing a platitude that's already been shared 1,000 times and there's everybody under the sun knows it, when I'm going through something, I do not take any pleasure in somebody sharing a spiritual platitude. Well, you know, God works all things together for the good of those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God's going to work us out. He doesn't give you more than you are able to bear. So, you know, take a cue from Job's comforter, if that's all you've got, and say, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to mourn with my brother, and I'm going to continue to press in, and I'm going to pray that God ends up changing this situation for his glory. Okay? Now, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him, let him deliver. This word trusted means something similar, although different, to what it is talking about before, up in verse number 4, which meant to lean upon, to rely on, or to have confidence in. And that is this. He trusted in the Lord means he rolled himself upon the Lord. He rolled himself. When you don't have anything else that you can do, let God be the God who carries you. I was talking about here a couple of Sundays ago on a message that I've known a lot of people who've gone through adversity. I've known some people who needed Jesus, and their path through adversity was just to find more adversity. I've known good people who've gone through adversity, and then they said, where is God in this? And then I've known people who had relationship with God, and they went through tremendous, painful adversity, and instead of it crushing them, instead of it crippling their faith, all that adversity did was anchor them in Jesus more intently than they ever had been before. Because they came to a place, they said, the only thing I can do at this point in time is roll onto Jesus and let him carry me through this process. Lean on him today. If the adversity you're facing is so much that you've done everything else to do and you've stood all that you can stand and now you feel the weight giving way, roll on to Jesus. His strength is not going to diminish. One of the things that always impresses me whenever I watch a movie is how somebody who looks like they're an average person can just walk over and pick up an average person. I had never been able to do that. I was like, man, they must really be strong, or they must have really good technique. But I will tell you this, no matter what you're going through, how intense, how long the battle has been going on, you can trust in Jesus today. He will carry you. Cast all your cares upon him today, because he cares for you. That's in the Word of God, and it's true for you today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow, right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
It's been a bad day. You've been looking back, and all you can see is everything you wish you could take back. All your mistakes, a world of regrets, all of those moments you would rather forget. I know it's hard to believe, but let me refresh your memory. Yesterday is history, and history is miles away. So leave it all behind you, but let it always remind you of the day that love made history. Right where you fell, the hardest part is forgiving yourself. But let's take a